her testimony now.
Today, I want to go back to what Pastor Tim and Don had said 1 week about the embers and how we all need God to be the fan that starts our flame. That flame shows that we are growing in the name of God. When Pastor Tim was saying that, I was thinking of it differently. I was thinking about us all being seeds, that we need to let our inner seedlings grow. We need God to help us. We are the seeds, and we were planted by God himself. Plants need sun and water to grow. God is our sun, and he is our water. God is the vital ingredient that we need to grow into a big and beautiful plant. Once we are big plants that are ready to spread our seeds, and our seeds are people that we have told about God, the same thing will happen to them. They will get the sun from our God, they will get the water from our God, and once they are big, they will be able to spread their seeds just as we did. Once, there is one craft that we did that made me think of it. It was a sunflower. Once it was put together and it was all dried, we put some words on the stem. The words on the stem were follow the sun. It doesn't mean to follow the sun that is in the sky that is warming our earth and not melting the snow. No, it means to follow God's sun, to follow Jesus. The children's ministry also made a little garden last summer. You might remember that. But we all talked about how we are all seeds, how we all need God to grow, how we need to let God to help us grow and tell people all the good things that God has done for us, the things Jesus had done for us. We need to let God and Jesus into our lives. We need to tell people what God and Jesus have done for us. When we let God and Jesus into our lives, our seeds grow, and we need to let our seeds brush off of us and make more followers of God. Have more people come to our church. Have other people make more followers of God, just like we made them followers of God and brought them to our church. Thank you for having me, my little sister and my brother, be a part of this church. Thank you for teaching me all about God and giving me the courage to say all of this. Thank you for accepting me and my family into the church family. Thank you for everything you all have done for me and my family. Thank you all.
Well, we're going to get back into Proverbs, and I shared some last week, and I didn't realize it was going to go into a second part, but that's where we're at. And the first part is on our website under the areas of our messages and things to follow along. I don't want to go back and repeat a whole lot. I want to cover what we need to today and believe we'll get through it. But we do know that Proverbs, and that's where we're speaking out of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, it's a short, wise, easy to remember saying generally. And so I shared last week a little bit. So what is wisdom? Wisdom is that ability to judge and to act according to God's directives. And it's the most valuable of assets. If we can have wisdom, Solomon could have had anything and everything that he wanted. Monies, golds, treasures. And what did he ask for? How to have understanding of dealing with the people. And wisdom is much richer than any gold or silver or any kind of an element of that nature. Wisdom, the ability to judge and act according to God's directives, is the most valuable of assets. Wisdom is available to all of us. It originates in God, not self, and it comes by attention to instruction. And we need to pay attention to the instruction that comes from where? The Bible. The things that we need to know in life, the things that we need to understand how I'm going to traverse from this side to this side to along my path of life, it's all found in here. And I don't believe it's hard to understand if you just open it up with that of a child. And by faith, we come to an understanding of what God is about. He did not make it difficult and hard to understand. Man and myself at times, and even those of us here today, sometimes we make it hard because we try to figure too much into it. We don't take it sometimes at just face value of what it is saying. I think a lot of times it affects us when we believe that it's too simple. It's just too simple. There's got to be more to it, because that's one of our areas that we default to in this life. When somebody explains something to you and say, this is how you can get this, and you go, wait, that's too simple. There's got to be a catch here. But there isn't with God's word. It's just, it is what it is. We take it by that of faith. We believe it is totally his word, transcribed through that of those that transcribed it, by that of the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so I find myself personally, it helped my relationship with him to that point to where I can read it and trust it, and I have seen it work in my life. I have seen it develop in my life. And I love him. I love his word, and there's many things. Well, it's all by faith to please him. Amen. So that's the Proverbs we're going to kind of dig into. I shared a little bit about, you know, the beginning of Proverbs, first chapter, the first few verses there, and what this was all about. But as we get into Proverbs, I got to chapter 3 is where I really got into, and what started me off into this, I was beginning to read in 3, and I'll read it. And Proverbs 3:21-22, the New King James, my son, let them not depart from your eyes. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21-22. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. As we look at this, the New Living will say this. Keep sound wisdom. New Living says this. Common sense. Just have common sense. We'll get you through this life. You know, the pot is hot, don't touch it. Pretty common sense. But we tell our kids don't touch it, and they're going to say, are you sure? Psh, yeah, you know. If we would just learn to hear what our parents are trying to tell us, and if we would learn to read and understand what God's word is trying to tell us, we don't need to test it out. It's there. But we do that sometimes. Like I said, in the New Living, it says, my child, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them. They will refresh your soul. They are like jewels on a necklace. But then in the Passion, it says this, and this is the Passion translation. It says, and this is what interested me. It says, walk in wisdom and discover your purpose. So in Passion Translation, chapter 3, verse 21, my child, never drift off course from these two goals in your life. To walk in wisdom and to discover your purpose. And I had shared that this purpose, like many Hebrew words, there's derivatives and various translations of it. Purpose is also discretion, counsel, meditation, discernment. And any one of those things is good in your life. If you can discern something, it'll probably keep you out of trouble. And you know, if we can have purpose in our life, we find out that we're here for a plan and a purpose and what God wants us to do. But you've got to discern those things from God and understand that what God is wanting from you. And you'll find that out by that of his word and also by that of the leading of the Holy Spirit. If we are filled with the Holy Spirit, which I hope we all are here today, because it is very vital to find direction in this life. I mean, we need a compass, and the Holy Spirit, his word is a compass, but sometimes we read the word and it's like, oh well, but when it's the Holy Spirit in us reading that word, and as so many times we've shared in the past and others have shared, when those words become alive, it only becomes alive is by through that of the Spirit, because the Spirit sparks your spirit to say, hang on to that word, pay attention to what that word is. Why? Well, I don't understand it. What? Wow, that's really interesting. Many of us here today have been reading scriptures and things of that nature, and you get to a particular verse or a word in that verse, and it just resonates in you. Why? Why now? You've read it 25 other times. It's because the Spirit in you now is wanting to say, I want to show you something about that word of God that's for you in your situation today. Maybe for the past, so that you get some clarity of whatever, but today or for your future, really. And it helps us understand those things. So when I read that, and I had shared last week, you know, keeping in God's word, keeping close to him, I love this where it says, my child, never drift off course from those two goals. Never drift off on those two goals, or just in general, do not drift off course from what God has for you. Do not drift off course from God's very word. Amen. We find many today drifting off course from God's very own true word. And man begins to put a spin on it to say, well, we understand it better than what Jesus understood it to be, or we understand it better than what the writers put it down, and being led by the Holy Spirit, oh, we know it much better now. It's different now than back then. And so they've drifted off course. And how I'd shared last week, it doesn't take much to get off course. Just drift a little bit here, a little bit there, and pretty soon you're not going to make your destination. You'll wonder how you missed it. So now we are going to get into a little bit more of chapter 3. So in chapter 3, and I'm going to kind of try to bounce back and forth a little bit from New King James and into the Passion. But it says this, I'm going to begin, and I talked about a little bit last week to say this, and we're going to jump into it, is this, there's rewards of wisdom. Chapter 3, we're going to find out, rewards of wisdom. There's guidance with wisdom. Guess what? Correction comes with wisdom. We find wisdom's blueprints, you know, the very foundation and how God spoke these things into existence by that of wisdom, his knowledge, his wisdom of all knowing. But we also find wisdom as a hiding place, and we'll kind of dig into some of these, just touching upon this, that, and the other. But I'm going to look at first Proverbs 3, 1 to 2. It says this, my child, if you truly want a long and satisfying life, never forget the things that I have taught you. Follow closely every truth that I've given you, and then you will have a full, rewarding life. So as we begin to look at these things, we begin to understand that we want to look at what God's word is kind of sharing with us here. And it says this in New King James, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For the length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. So with wisdom, we'll find high esteem with not only that of what? God, but with that of man. The expression of this when it says my law could be teaching. Hold on to my teachings, hold on to my law. We can look at this in my law in the New King James is speaking of, it's assuming that it's still speaking as a parent that implies the more personal principles of the household, close to those of God, but with detailed application. So with our kids, we're going to give them a detailed application of the things with that of God and how to live in this house, okay? And as I raise you as a child, you know, as parents, we've been given a challenge. We have been given quite a task, and that's to raise a child. And raise them up as they should, and they will not depart from it. As we raise our kids in that of the Word of God, through that of Christ, as the Children's Church continues to minister the Word of God into these young hearts, you know, we pray, and God's Word gives us a promise that they will not turn from it. Now, some things come along in life and they may drift away. But there's something within that seed in their heart that will come back as we pray for them, as we intercede for them. And sometimes on their very own, when they're out there and the Spirit still is addressing them, and all of a sudden they hit something and they go, wait a minute, and they come back. So there's such a wonderful promise in God's Word that it doesn't return void, you know? What Terry and Andrea and Heather pretty soon are going to be putting into these children, it's like, and the words that we put in here from the pulpit, it's not going to return void. The things that we share of that of God, they're there. And if it's that of the seed and the true seed of God, that it's going to be, you know, growing, developing, watering of the Word, you know, to help that grow. So here it is. Follow closely every truth that I've given you, then you will have a full, rewarding life. Who does not want a full and rewarding life? Sign me up! You know, I've seen the other. I've been on the other side, you know, to a point. It's like there's nothing rewarding there. Just a lot of toil, a lot of hurts, a lot of stress. Gee, who needs that? But thankfully, come to Him. come to Christ, allow Christ into your life, become a born-again Christian, and follow that of God, follow closely every truth that I've given you, then you will have a full, rewarding life. We look at Proverbs 3:5, it talks about this, of trusting in the Lord completely. And that's the thing, we've got to trust God, what? Completely. We find people having a hard time with the things of God when they only follow Him partially, or only when it fits their need, or only when times get so bad, I'm coming back to you now, God. And thankfully, by His grace and mercy, guess what? He's there, and He will be there. But you went through a hard struggle that you probably didn't need to do had we just stayed with Him. And maybe you would have gone through that struggle. I'm not to say that it may not have come up, but you would have had that strength of Him in you. By His strength, my weakness makes Him strong. And so I'm not looking out there to become weak all the time, but I do know when my time comes to where I'm weak in a situation, I can rely back on, but God, Your word says, when I am weak, You are strong. Oh, my God. My God. My God. And how that two words to me sends me over the top the last couple of weeks. That I can just get to that peace. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Trust the Lord completely. He will lead you. Literally, He will cut a straight path before you. We've had this in some of the messages some time back about makes a path in the desert, you know, brings water in a stream through a dry. Anybody been in a dry desert place in a life of going through something? It's like, boy, is it dry. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I'm so dry. I don't know how much more I'm going to take. I don't know what. It feels like I'm lost. I'm in this desolate place. I can't find my way out. What is this? Literally, He will cut a straight path before you. Direct from the Hebrew word yashar or something like that is to be straight, right, upright, pleasing, good. Here in Proverbs, it appears in an intensive form to make straight and right. God will straighten out the path of those that are devoted to Him and those that are His trusting servants. Be devoted to Him and be a trusting servant of Him, and you're going to get into some scrapes through life. Anybody here, do I have an amen to scrapes in life? You know, amen! You know, that's life, and that's what's going to happen. But us to get through those life scrapes, that it's by that of God to be there, to pick us up, to bring us through it, to make a path. Sometimes we get into these scrapes, and the scrapes in our lives are so much around us that it's like being in a jungle or in a forest that you can't see the sun to get the directions. You can't see, you know, 10 feet because of the foliage, and you don't know which way to go to get out. I imagine some of us have been in those situations in our lives even now, in the last 5 years, 10 years. But God's word tells me that He will cut a straight path. If I'm His servant, if I'm following Him, all I need to say is, Lord, direct my path. Help me out of here. And I do truly believe that He will straighten that out. He will cut it down. He will show me the way to go. God will straighten out the path of His devoted, trusting servant. How about that of a discipline? Proverbs 3:11 says, my child, when the Lord speaks to you, never take His words lightly. And never be upset when He corrects you, for the Father's discipline comes only from His passionate love and pleasure for you. Amen? What does that say? His passionate love and pleasure for you. Oh, wow. Just think of that. God's passionate and love for you. He loved you, loved me, loved us so much that He sent Jesus to die for us. Wow. That's quite a love. But that's the love He has for His creation. And He says, I want you to come back to me. I want to provide a way to reconcile you back to the blessings and what I have that got kind of mucked up in the garden. But we can fix it. God says, I can fix that. It's going to take Jesus. But through Jesus, it's fixed. We come to Christ. We come to that of God through Christ. And we've got to understand correction is okay. God shows His love through us by disciplining us. The world, of course, can't see this, but God in His love for us will discipline us. You know, I have heard sometimes in the natural, okay, that many times we hear that a lot of times kids lash out, and it's really only to get attention. And some of the kids almost want you, you know, correct me. I'm running you over. Correct me. And we got some parents at times going, oh, forget it. I've done it. I'm out, or whatever. There's love in correction. God loves us and he corrects us. Anytime that he has corrected me, I've never felt his love less. I've never felt him say, my love for you is not as strong. I've asked God to correct me. Has anybody else? I've asked him on a continuing basis, Lord, to serve you the way you want me to serve you and to honor you the way I want to honor you, Lord, correct me when it's needed so that I can bring honor and glory to you. So you got to be willing to allow that to take place, and he will correct you. And generally, you know, when he corrects you, if you hear in the beginning, and I think it's almost like most of us as parents, if our children respond accordingly at the very beginning of the instruction, it's not such a bad correction. Now, if it continues on for days or weeks or for, you know, 12 hours that day, I don't know. Maybe the correction gets a little more severe. Well, you know, sometimes God might have to say, okay, you've not gotten the attention yet, Tim. Here's what's going to happen now, okay? But even in our natural, correct our kids in the natural by that of love, not by that of anger. God corrects us in love, not in anger. But correction is necessary. Discipline is necessary in all of our lives, right? I need to be disciplined. I got such a nice, disciplined person that just by her voice and what she tells me sometimes tells me to, stops me in my tracks, you know? I mean, I listen to her and I, you know, she tells me when I'm out of line or my thoughts are like, you're getting very jaded or whatever, you know? It happens, we're all human. And we see these things over and over, and we just go, oh, just, that's it. But I find that, and God will do that to all of us, I believe. He'll correct us through our spouse, or a loved one, or a friend. They will say a word to us that goes, dink, dink, okay. And if we are slow to respond, to say, oh, I'm not like that, but if you will allow it, to bounce around in your thoughts a little bit and kind of dribbles into your heart, you go, oh man, my wife was right. My wife was right. And I asked God to forgive me. I said, Lord, forgive me for this callousness. Forgive me for this jaded thought that I have for this, that, or whatever the case might be. I got to keep compassion. I got to keep love. I got to pray for these individuals, these things, these situations. And so, you know, I think a lot of times when we say, Lord, correct me, we've got to understand, as Lord puts the blessings of heaven for us in areas of homes and cars, it's through the prosperity of, he prospers us in a job, and our job pays, and we get this, and we're able to have that, and we can buy this. And so what that's telling us is that God works through the systems of this world that we're in. I've never yet had a trunk of, you know, $100 bills fall out of heaven into my front yard. I don't know what the deal is. I would take a trunk of maybe just $10 bills, okay? $5 bills. I don't care. But I prayed, Lord, send your blessings, send your money. You know, I've never said that. No, don't send your money, Lord. But Lord, help, provide, do, however, Lord. And so as he does that with the finances and things like that, we can get into that. Or I can think of this as far as him to, you know, when I say, Lord, I ask you to correct me when I'm needed to be corrected. And he goes, and I see, Tim, that your wife's name is Dean. We've got that covered. She will be correcting you throughout this week. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. But we need that. And we need to understand that when we think how God is going to do something, it's probably totally different. But yet, when he has put us together as husbands and wives or friends and people around us and families, that we're there, iron sharpens iron. You know, we need to be willing to listen. We need to be willing to take discipline. Thank you, Lord. For the father's discipline comes only from his passionate love and pleasure for you. I guess sometimes, if we're not really being disciplined by God, it's like, well, Lord, don't you love me? You know, it's kind of, now that's the world's crazy ways of thinking, though, but the world would say, are you stupid? Why are you asking that? And if he's not correcting you, just let it go. Well, no, it says that his love, he's passionate love and pleasures for me. And I know I'm not a saint. What about in 3:19? It says this for the wisdom's blueprints. It says here in the passion as far as a heading. And that's what's cute about this. It's just got these little headings above these particular areas. But wisdom's blueprints, 3:19. The Lord laid the earth's foundations with wisdom's blueprints. In the New King James, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up, and the clouds dropped down the dew. And so the wisdom, could you imagine? God is all that. He's all-knowing, you know, beginning to the end. Very, very wise. I began to look at some of those things as far as how he put things in place, and you can go all kinds of scattered ways, but you know, you hear many times as far as how the earth was set in the orbit and the rotation within the solar system and the sun and the moon, and all of it is so intricately connected to sustain life as we know it. And, you know, had the sun or the earth been just a little bit closer to the sun or a little bit distance from the sun, we'd either be frozen, and then, you know, too close to the sun, we'd burn up. But God's wisdom, he knew, you know, and you start looking at this stuff and astronomy and all and the solar systems and the many things that are out there in space that we don't have a clue about, you know, but how he set this and set that, and it's just at the right angle, at the right distance to sustain life. I can look at that sometimes and I just marvel at that going, wow. Wow. You know, I'm trying to figure out, I've been watching some news sources that are from overseas, and they go through a weather map and all that, and everything from overseas is in Celsius. So they come over to the United States, and it's like, Chicago, 2. I go, 2? It's not 2 degrees. So I go, okay, I got to get smart on this, you know. If I'm going to watch this, I need to figure this out quick. So I went to Google, and it's like, how's a fast system to figure that out? So they say, take the Celsius, multiply it by 2, and add 30 to it, and that'll get you pretty close to the Fahrenheit. Huh? Huh? No, serious. Well, it's got to be. It's on Google. It's like, come on. Yeah. Well, I checked out a couple of different places, but it seems that way. So, kids, this is a class, okay? Learn. So, you take Celsius, multiply it by 2. So, if it says 4 degrees on the map, 2 times 4 is 8, add 30, it'll be 38 degrees thereabouts in Fahrenheit. Pretty quick. I mean, you can go through the dividing and multiplying, but not me. Not me. No. This guy is like, I'm at the end of my life here. I don't have time to bend a lot of these things, you know? I've got to like, quick. I need to know now. But yeah, so yeah. It's just little things you learn, you know? You're learning every day, kids. You're never too old to learn. But I look at those things and I just, it shows me the awesomeness of God and his infinite wisdom. And it's like, wow. And some people say, oh, is it really a God? Yeah. Go figure it out, eh? So he founded the earth through that wisdom. And now I'm going to look at reading here, and we're going to touch upon this from 21 to 26. So I'm going to start. My child, we've said this already, never drift off course from these two goals for your life, to walk in wisdom and to discover your purpose. Don't ever forget how they empower you, for they strengthen you inside and out. And they inspire you to do what's right. You will be energized and refreshed by the healing that they bring. They give you living hope to guide you. And not only one of life's tests will cause you to stumble. Not only one. You know, we go through tests in this life, don't we? Wow, don't we all? I'm going to go James quickly. James 1:2-4. In James 1, 2, 4, whoops, talking about these tests in life and one test, James 1, starting in 2, my fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. Now the world's going to say, you're not thinking right. But God's word is saying, experience it as the greatest joy that you can. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up in you the power of endurance. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. As we go through struggles, as we go through these times in our lives, God is going to say, I'm sorry you're going through this, but you're going to learn something about it. Pay attention. And it's going to stir you up. It's actually going to build you up. And it's going to prepare you, possibly, and I hate to say it, God would say maybe, but for the things to come in the future. Because we know the things in the future on this side of heaven are going to be difficult times. Look around the world and look at what's happening in Ukraine and how sad that is. All of this stuff can happen, like overnight. We had it with the COVID thing. Overnight, everything shut down and this and happened, and it affected us for about 3 years. We're just now beginning to kind of feel some release from all of that stuff. But you look at these things happening and how your serenity, how your calmness in life can be shaken at the drop of a hat. You can go to bed at 10 o'clock, wake up the next morning, and it's not the same country that you went to bed in. But that's looking at dealing with life's test. And then 1:12, it says this in James 1:12. If your faith remains strong, even while surrounded by life's difficulties, you will continue to experience the untold blessings of God. True happiness comes as you pass the test with faith and receive the victorious crown of life promised to every lover of God. Then I'm going to say, and I've said this many times, life is hard. Life is difficult. Things that happen to us personally, things that I hear happening to others, things that I see going on around this world. It's just like after a while you just get to that point, it's like, my goodness, my God, how much more can we understand or how much more can we take? And so that's when wisdom tells you, turn it off. Don't pay attention to it. You know, pray about it, whatever the case is, you know. But, you know, it's these things in life. And so, yes, we better tell everyone, you know, when people receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we're all glorifying, hallelujah, glory to God. We better be telling them, now get ready. There's trials and tribulations right around the corner for you. It's not going to be a bed of roses. There's going to be a difficulty throughout your life. But God is going to be there to make that path straight for you to get out of it or to bring you through it, to supply help, whatever the case is. And then sometimes we just have to go through these things and we don't understand how many times we prayed for different ones in our body here to be free of pain, to be free from medical situations, to be touched in their sickness, on the bed of sickness, that they're healed from that and they can just jump up. And guess what? The last I heard, we still have people with pain, we still have people with sickness, and we're still going through these things. But that doesn't mean that God has left you. Now, it's easy for us that are maybe not going through that to say that. Sounds very cavalier. Well, God has not left you. Well, that person that you're talking to that's going through it saying, you ought to be on this side of the thing. I feel like he has. We've got to have compassion with that. We've got to understand that. Sometimes it talks about, you know, where you don't understand that person until you walk a mile in their shoes, you know, you hear that thing. Before we judge those things and how we can be so, oh, just, you know, praise God and just keep praying. You know, it's like, man, I understand. I don't have an answer. But I know my God doesn't lie. I know my God says he'll be there. Times that I've gone through some things, it's like, what am I to learn from this, Lord? Why is this happening and what am I to learn? I can't really reflect back on any one time or any one thing that he said, this is why and this is what you're going to learn. I can't pull one out of my thoughts right now. But I've got to understand my love for God and that he loves me and he's not going to turn his back on me. I guess the thing that always defaults in me quickly is that, Tim, you live in a fallen world where disease and pestilence and heartache and hurts are part of what this life is all about. Whether you're a Christian, a lover of God, Jesus Christ is your Lord, or you're a sinner away from God, rain falls on the just and the unjust. But I think for us that are in the family and the kingdom of God, he gives us a tool to say, hold on to me. Hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. The darkest part of the night is just before the dawn. And sometimes maybe as we look at that in our lives, maybe those struggles and things, it's like, is this the darkest part at this time? And oh, when I break through, dawn is right there. But it's always the darkest right before dawn. And so, Lord, I don't know how that helps us and ministers to us, but in a way it does, you know, if you think it through in that direction. But everybody's got to get that understanding. And going through this as far as now, and remember, we're going back to what? What is this going to keep helping us with? Wisdom and our discerning. Wisdom, our purpose. Wisdom and discernment. All these things. If those two things. So now it goes on. They will give you a living hope to guide you, and not one of life's tests will cause you to stumble. You will sleep like a baby, safe and sound. There's a difference, I tell you. When you sleep and you're on pins and needles and you wake up and you feel like, I haven't slept. And then there's a time when you wake up from a sleep and you go, oh, wow, I really slept. I'm really relaxed. I'm really energized. I'm really refreshed, whatever the case might be. But I love it to sleep like a baby. And I think he wants us to be that way. And he's got a great message for us, and his words are life and liberty for us. And they bring healing into us. And our thing is that his word does not lie for us as Christians, where we know healing does take place for the Christian, whether it's this side of heaven. Praise God, I'll serve you more here, Lord. Or when we get to heaven and all sickness is gone and we're healed and we're restored. How about in, let's see, verse 26. You will sleep like a baby, safe and sound. Your rest will be sweet and secure. You will not be subject to terror, for it will not terrify you. Isn't that something, as we grow up in life, there's things that would terrify us. You know, we would allow them to terrify us. But once you get a peace of God, the peace of God that passes all understanding, it's like that terror that I'm hearing about cannot affect me. Because my trust and my faith and my stand is within that of God. And God said he's not going to leave me nor forsake me. If I'm going through it, guess who's going through it with me? If I'm going into that fiery furnace like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, who's going to be in there with me? Hallelujah. God will be there with you. So it's not like he kept them out of the furnace. He just says, I will be with you when you go. Just don't bow down. Don't cave in. Keep serving me. Keep calling me God, your God. Today, you got to keep calling him your God. And he will jump into that furnace with you. He will jump into that flood with you, whatever the case might be. But he will bring you back. Amen. You will not be subject to terror, for it will not terrify you. Nor will the disrespectful be able to push you aside. Because God, here it is, because God is your confidence in the times of crisis, keeping your heart at rest in every situation. Jeremiah 7:7. So we're looking at our confidence is that of God. And back in Jeremiah 7:7, it says, 17:7. I was going to say that didn't make. I got to be careful there because it is God's word. And I was going to say that doesn't make sense. All of God's word makes sense. So scratch what I was getting ready to say, or if I did say it. Forgive me, God. Can you imagine God up there going, hey, what do you mean that word doesn't make sense? I wrote it. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord. It's just I wasn't where I wanted it to be. It's all good. It's all good, Lord. Please forgive me, Lord. 17:7 says this, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Today, every day, have trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaves will be green and will not be anxious in the year of a drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Woo, hallelujah. Even when you're going through a hard time, yield fruit, guys. That's the time your fruit probably ought to really come into, you know, completion and be there to people see it, because that's part of the fruit, Lord, that we can do that and be loving and caring. And oh, you're going through a hard time, but you still love God? Yes. You can still praise God? Yes. I still trust Him, because God is your confidence in times of crisis, keeping your heart at rest in every situation. I'm going to go to Philippians in regards to this confidence in God and all. And it's a well-known scripture that we go into. But I'm going to read it out of the Passion's translation here. Philippians 1:6 I have here. I pray with great faith for you, because I am fully convinced that the one who began this gracious work in you will faithfully continue the process of maturing you until the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is sharing as they're writing this. But could you believe this? That let me just begin in 3. My prayers for you are full of praise to God as I give thanks for you with great joy. I am so thankful for our union and our enduring partnership that began the first time I presented to you the gospel. I pray with great faith. Ooh, I pray with great faith for you, because I'm fully convinced that the one who began his gracious work in you will faithfully continue the process of maturing you until the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as God has put things in you, He's going to complete it. God does not leave things half done. But with God, it's a completion. What God has put in us, what He has planned for us, if we remain faithful to Him, true to Him, walking in the wisdom, walking in these things, our purpose, our discerning and understanding and watching these things happening around us, as we do this, we're not going to be drifted off course. The world's not going to come in and snag us and get us out, or the world, the devil, whatever the case might be. But we're going to stand true to that of the God that has called us to be who we are and has set us in a place to serve Him, whether it's at Harvesters Church or when you leave here into the mission field around town, wherever you live, at your job, to present the gospel, to present the good news. And the best way to present the gospel and the good news is just be Christ-like. Love. Peaceful, joyful. Hallelujah. So as I wrap this up, so as we're looking at this area of wisdom and where it stands in our life, and there's a lot more in Proverbs that we could go through, and who knows, we may go through it, I don't know. But there's so much to hold on to grasp, but to understand that if you can get that wisdom of that of Christ, and have God's mind, and that's where I think I started writing down. I didn't go that way, but you know, to have that wisdom and that of God, it talks about also where we have the mind of Christ. And once we get that mind of Christ, I believe that's we begin to have that wisdom of listening, and there's a little closeness more. And it's very important that we renew our mind with that of the Word of God. And we begin that having that mind of Christ. And as we can go through this life with the mind of Christ, before you make a decision or an action, stop for a split second and say, what would Jesus do? That was a powerful saying way back, you know. What would Jesus do? Well, what did Jesus do? Yes. And so what would He do in a circumstance like this? How would He respond to that? How would He handle that? What would He say? What would He not say? So anyway, I want to look at just closing out here and attaining wisdom and gaining understanding. It says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. As we look at Proverbs, and we didn't get there, but it's 4:7, exhort Solomon, wisdom is knowing the truth and how to apply it to any given situation. Understanding is knowledge seasoned and modified by wisdom and insight. So that's pretty good to know. Wisdom is knowing the truth and how to apply it to a given situation. Understanding is knowledge seasoned and modified by the wisdom. And so they both have to kind of work together, you know. But it's being able to know what to use, when to use it, to properly have it fulfill what it needs to be at that time. And so it's like, you know, too much wisdom, it's like, wow, you know, and where's the, you know, understanding, you know, knowledge. A lot of people have knowledge of certain things. But to have the knowledge, but to have the practicality of putting it to use and understanding it might be where that wisdom comes in, to say, this is that, and if I put it to this and wisdom, and I can work this together to where I can see how it flows. And embrace wisdom and follow after understanding. Know that patience, discernment, favor, prosperity, safety, and other benefits will result. Wow. For our lives, I don't know about you, but I like favor, prosperity. I like safety. Yes, I'll take that, a double portion. And other benefits will result. And so there's a lot of things to benefit and result out of God's word. It's all there, and it's not for just one or two people. It's for all of us. It's all of us here today. But you got to dig into it. You got to follow it. You got to allow God to speak to you in from his word and apply it to your situation at hand, whatever the case might be. But knowing that, what he was saying there about, you know, that purpose and that wisdom, keep those things. And around the necklace, of the, it's not that. It's for your inner being, you know, that where keep it, wisdom and that discernment or purpose, it's inside of you so that you can make good choices, good decisions, good things in this life and in serving that of God. Amen? And Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.